This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, 1201 back on the Fan. BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. So, 1 week from today, the Giants will do something bold or read the board and get a receiver, a lineman, maybe a quarterback, which is what I'm saying they should do. General Manager Joe Shane talking right now.
Other positions as well. So, again, I think the film is one thing, but also evaluating who they are as people and how they'll fit into your culture and your franchise is equally important. So, again, that's across all positions.
Joe, given the resources you have, you only have 6 picks this year. I imagine you don't really want to touch next year's picks just yet. So how do you kind of balance the temptation to move up and where to move up in this draft?
Yeah. My job is to do what's best for the franchise. So if there's an opportunity to go up, move back, stay, whether it's in the first round, third round, fifth round, that's what we'll do. But you take all that into account, Patty, when you're making those type of decisions. And again, that's some of the planning and strategy and some of those meetings that we'll have over the next couple of days. And the what ifs, if this, then, and you go back and forth on it. And the good thing is you have the first round on Thursday. You can regroup going into Friday before the second and third round and have those conversations again. So the draft being over a 3-day period helps you in terms of when you have those meetings and those strategy sessions, when you decide if you're going to go up, down, which players you like. And those are all things that we'll talk about over the next week or so.
I asked you about trade value chart, right? Obviously, and every other team has trade value charts. Have you found your experience? Is there like a quote-unquote quarterback tax? Like if you're moving up for a quarterback, do teams try to attract more?
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. Dan, I would say that's true. Like if people know what you're coming up for, depending, again, I've been involved with this with Buffalo, it probably wasn't as high, but I do think Tampa Bay knew what we were doing. So I do think that happens for that position.
I asked you about it, I think at the combine, about how open you think the top 3 teams would be to trading. Granted, that was early then. At this point, do you have a sense, do you feel like they're amenable to, probably, I'm strictly talking probably about the number 3 pick, open to, making a move if, the offer is right there?
Yeah, it's hard to say. And then 2, being in the division, that's a difficult one. Typically if you're talking in the top 10 of the draft, trading with somebody within the division. So yeah, I mean, otherwise, I don't think anybody's ready to move right now. I know, people are listening, which we'll all do that, from, teams behind us or moving up. I think those exploratory talks and conversations will happen here shortly. We just finished up 30 visits, and as you're well aware, some other teams still had some, large groups, small groups, whatever it may be. So you're still gathering information. We can still have Zooms with players for, up until Wednesday. So, I think teams are still getting to know some of these prospects or any loose ends that they need to tie up before the draft. So I think teams, you know, again, those conversations will happen over the next, I would say, you know, 48 to 72 hours, those will start happening. You'll get a feel for, you know, who's open to moving and who's not.
Listening to Giants general manager Joe Shane breaking down the draft, and it's BT and Sal and all the fans.
Manager, what would be a bigger regret? Swinging and missing at a quarterback, or passing on a guy you had an opportunity, maybe that you loved, you know, pass on that guy and then watch him star somewhere else?
Who's the other guy?
I'm just on a specific, specific quarterback. You know what? You pass on that quarterback.
Pass on a quarterback,
and then he becomes a star for somebody else. Rather than swinging and missing.
You got to be comfortable. We're having all those conversations now, and it's not just the quarterback position. Again, there's other positions, and when they're on the same level, that's where a lot of times, if you got a corner on this line and a defensive tackle on this line, that's where you take in a team need if you see them equally in terms of how you see the prospect and the grades that you have on them. So you let your board talk to you, you go through all these conversations, and you know, again, we're going to do what's best for the franchise, and all of our meetings and all of our preparation and when we set the board is all what's best for the New York Giants. So I'm confident we're going to get a good player next Thursday, whatever position that is. And, you know, we'll sleep good at night knowing we did all the preparation and, you know, we let the board talk to us.
Joe, you mentioned just before, half kidding around, paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
But obviously you got to do your due diligence. But do you have to guard against everybody overthinking it, kind of maybe be careful that you don't outsmart yourselves?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, because I mean, every waking moment, this is what we're all thinking about is the draft, and it's not just the first round, it's the second round, making sure that we have the players stacked. If three players at our position are there, that we're sure that we like them the way that they're stacked, and we're working through a lot of those now. But yeah, you can go round and round and round, and at some point, somebody has to make a decision, and when we're going through those. Some film sessions we've been doing film all morning together as a staff and working through where the discrepancies are, if that makes sense. You know, whether the coaches like him a little bit higher than we do or the stack is different. So we actually get in a room together and, you know, we say, hey, this is how you're going to utilize him. This is how we see him as a personnel staff. And let's roll up our sleeves. Let's watch the film. Let's talk through it while we're watching it. And then ultimately, you know, we got to make a decision on how they stack on the board. So that's what we're trying to get through the next 2 days, any type of discrepancies. That way I can, you know, prevent myself from the paralysis by analysis, because you can go back and forth. And, you know, I like when the draft is getting, you know, as it's getting closer, I can stop going through all these scenarios and rest easy at night once these decisions have been made.
Joe, there's some talk that this draft is very deep at wide receiver. First of all, would you agree with that? And there's also a lot of talk that there were three guys in this draft at receiver who could be number one receivers in other years. Do you kind of see that shaping up that way as well?
Yeah, I do think it's a deep receiver draft. I do think there are, again, they come in different shapes and sizes and speeds. But I do think it's a deep, you know, wide receiver draft from top to bottom, depending on what you're looking for. So, you know, some added value with guys, the new kickoff rules, and the guys that can also do returns. You know, I think there's an added element there too, and there's some receivers that can wear multiple hats, not just as a receiver, but also as returners. So yeah, I do think it's a good draft. And again, I don't know however people have them ranked, but just in general, for your question, I think it is a good draft from the receiver position. I think there will be several taken in the first round.
Listen to Joe Shane, his pre-draft meeting in the media. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Number one target, you know, every you know, offensive coach would like that. How much?
I said that.
What's that?
When did I say that?
You said especially with a head coach who's an offensive guy, you know, that he would certainly like you definitely said that. Yeah. More than once. You didn't say that would be the pickup. You said that, or else we'd never be here.
Right.
How much do you think that is missing, has been missing from the offense, and how much can that do for an offense if you draft a guy at number six who you say this is a stud and we're putting him into our offense now?
Yes, having an offensive head coach, you're right. Yeah, I probably definitely said that at some point. But, no, I mean, it can really help you out. And especially the way we're constructed now, you know, Jalin Hyatt can take the top off. You know, Wandell working in the slot. I think you could really see what he was able to do late in the season when when he was finally healthy, and you know, Darius Slayton's been uber consistent, you know, during his time. And then, you know, again, if you add another, you know, wide receiver there, whether it's in the top 10 or later in the draft, because of the depth of the class, you know, I do think it gives you, you know, options, and it's going to help, you know, the offense in general. We have to score more at the end of the day. We need to score more points, and adding a, you know, if it's a number one receiver or whatever you want to call it, just a better receiving weapon is going to help everybody.
Roster with Darius obviously not being here for voluntary workouts and wanting a new contract, does that change how you view the roster going into the draft, and are you open to those negotiations?
Yeah, no, that doesn't change anything. These are voluntary workouts. You know, there's been players since I've been here that haven't been here, and I understand that. I love Darius. Michael Parrott's his agent. He's a very good friend of mine. I understand where he's coming from, and that's his prerogative to not be here, but they are voluntary workouts, so you know that's understood.
So you were in Buffalo. What was the one determining factor that made Brandon want Josh Allen?
Oh, there was more than one. Yeah. I
mean, was there one tiebreaker, one intangible or tangible?
No, I mean, it's again, that position is so unique. It was a combination of, you know, a lot of things. I mean, his size, his arm talent, he played in the elements, unbelievable kid. Leadership. I mean, he checked a lot of boxes. I think it's important to check a lot of boxes at that position, not just one in particular.
You mentioned when a team is trading up for a quarterback that sometimes the draft chart goes out the window a little bit and you have to pay a little bit more. When there's two teams that are potentially interested in going up for that quarterback, does it that bidding war commence in a way? And then is there a step away point where you have to be like, okay, we're starting to get to a number here that's just we can't go there?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in a draft where at least not that I can think of off the top of my head, where we move back with a team that's coming up with, you know, for a quarterback or bidding team. So I'm not sure how that would work out. I really haven't been a part of that, but. Yeah, in any negotiation, if you have leverage, you're going to be able to probably get what your asking price is. So whether it's football or any walk of life, leverage helps in any deal. So I think if somebody's trying to, you know, move up, again, it could be the third round, it could be the second round, and there's multiple bidders, you're going to take the best deal, I would assume.
But what about being potentially being in a situation where you're one of those teams trying to go up with another team?
Yeah, if you're trying to move, I mean, you don't know what everybody else is doing. I have no way to know what, you know, the other 31 teams are doing. But to your, you know, back to your first question, absolutely. There's a walkaway point on everything. Again, just in any negotiation, there's a what are you comfortable spending, and then, you know, is it worth it or not? And then you got to be comfortable walking away and going to your, you know, your plan B or, you know, whatever it may be. If you can't get up for that player, okay, well, who's going to be there when you're picking and be ready to execute then?
It's Joe Shane's draft press conference, getting ready for the Giants 1 week from today.
How strategic would you say you are in terms of your planning, your evaluation, even going back to January, of putting everything together? And is that schedule flexible, or do you pretty much have it all the way laid out through the visits ending yesterday as to what you're going to do, and you're pretty comfortable with what process you have set up now?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the process, and I think, again, as we set the board, you get a pretty good idea of who's going to be there when you're picking, or in generality, where you can, you know, if you need a tight end, okay, well, where does that look like? There's depth in the draft, or, you know, how many guys are going to go high? You know, some drafts, there aren't a lot of receivers like this year, and, you know, maybe the first receiver goes in the second round. So every draft is different. It's unique based on the players that you're getting from college, so you plan and make your, you know, plan A, B, C, D, whatever it may be, based off your board, and then, you know, your team needs, where can you acquire those picks? And, you know, hey, if you don't get a corner here, where's the next chance you're going to get him? Okay, well, we better take him in the fourth round because we don't have another corner on the board. So you take all that stuff into account, you know, the further you get in the draft. You know, a lot of times, again, like I said earlier, if guys are on the same line, you're going to go with need at some point, or if you already took some in that position. So we go through all those, you know, scenarios right now, and then it's flexible as you go through the draft based on what you've taken previously, if that makes sense.
Joe, where are you with Darren Waller right now?
Yeah, we're giving Darren his space. We've had conversations with Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, and he's kept us in the loop on Darren. So we're giving him space. Hopefully he's going to make a decision here in the short term. But, you know, we're giving him time and his space to make a decision on what he wants to do.
Joe, wouldn't that be helpful before the draft for you? Have you given him at that kind of a timeline at all?
No, we haven't given him a deadline.
Joe, Darius, just to follow up for 1 second, mm-hmm. How open are you to, you know, adjusting or extending his contract?
Yeah, we haven't had conversations about any type of extension.
When you say you understand where he's coming from, is that a way of you saying that you intend to try to address that later this offseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. I understand where he's coming from because I've had communication with his agent. That's all that is. Yeah, we just signed the deal, you know, a little over 12 months ago. It was a 2-year deal. And, you know, again, so I understand where he's coming from based on our conversations is what I meant by that.
Where is Daniel? How is he progressing?
Daniel's doing well. He's running straight line and he's throwing. So there haven't been any setbacks. So hopefully, you know, he's on track for a training camp. I believe he said that the other day, and that's the plan as long as there's, you know, no setbacks.
So what about Evan? Coming in, do you find, historically speaking, that the draft tends to tilt more to that new coordinator's needs, or do you feel that, you know, there's a good core in place that you can be flexible?
Yeah, I think right now that we have enough needs that it could go either way, you know, offense or defense. You know, I think we're not one player away or two players, so I think, you know, Shane coming in has been phenomenal with his communication and articulating what he's looking for in his scheme. And, you know, we've had really good communication with him throughout this pre-draft process in terms of what players fit his scheme and, you know, again, the value where we can get those players. So, yeah, Shane's been a really good addition and, you know, enjoyed my time working with him this far.
How's Evan progressing?
Evan's progressing well. Saw him on, I guess it would be Monday, we had a team meeting, and looks good and good spirits, and, you know, he's progressing well.
He hasn't had any setbacks since we last talked to you.
No.
Like for you, especially as the Pioneers, what is that like? In the world,
it's a lot of our work and the preparation, especially in the first round. Last year was a little bit more stressful because when you're picking further back in the draft, where this year it's six, it makes it a little bit easier because you could say, okay, here's six names, here's how we like them, here's our different scenarios, and you can go from there. So the first round is, I'm pretty calm, to be honest with you, just because you've done all the work, and no matter how it pans out, you've got your stack and how you like the players. Last year, again, was a little, you know, there's a little bit more anxiety and uncertainty because to us last year, the draft didn't really start till pick 15, and now you're starting to narrow down who's going to be there where, you know, picking this high, it's a little bit different. But pretty calm because all the work and the preparation that, you know, the staff, the coaches, all of us have done leading up to the draft. So usually feel pretty good about our board, and, you know, again, as you go through it, the board talks to you, and a lot of the decisions have already been made.
Joe, you said that you're not one or two players away in this year's draft, so you could go either way. How does that impact your decision on whether or not you move up and what you give up, what you're willing to part with to move up?
Yeah, I haven't said we're going to move up or we will or we won't, but it impacts, do we stay, do we, you know, surprisingly, at six, we've gotten a lot of calls from people behind us. So I didn't think it would be, I didn't think I'd have as much activity at six from people behind me as we've gotten. So those are options too, as we look at, you know, if we go back, how far back do we want to go? Is this team for, okay, then to the stack I was just talking about, okay, now there's 10 names instead of six or 15 names instead. Where does it make sense for us to move back, and what else can we get with that? So we're taking all that, whether we go up, back, stay, all that's, you know, being talked about right now as we're going through it.
Yeah, to a more active draft day, do you expect more calls going in there, given the fact that you've gotten so many calls?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think, again, everybody's assuming who's going number one. I think we can all agree that it's probably going to happen, and it's going to be Caleb, and then, you know, the draft starts at two and see what Washington does, and then, you know, again, there's rumors of teams behind us wanting to come up and some of the calls we've received. So, yeah, we'll go through. You know, again, we don't know what's going to happen at 2, 3, 4, 5, or people are going to come up behind us, but those are all things that we're talking about and going through different scenarios.
It's Giants general manager Joe Shane starting to wrap up his pre-draft press conference right here on WFAN.
Share with us, but, like, how do you go about it, and what is your handle on it?
Yeah, what I do personally is on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, depending what I'm thinking about doing or what I'm interested in doing, I'll call the general managers, I'll call each team and just check in and what are you looking to do? Are you looking to move up? I may be willing to go back. I may be looking to go up depending on who it is. And you have those exploratory conversations if they'd be open to it. And then, it's, hey, okay, circle back or text me, the pick before you're on the clock or if we want to come up. So you'll gather the information. The most of the stuff I gather is, it's word of mouth with the actual general managers if they would be interested in doing, Trent Baalke last year, we'd had that conversation during the day, depending how the board falls. Again, we were a little bit worried about some teams maybe coming up behind us to take Tay. But we also had, contingency plans with some teams to move back at that point too. So a lot of those conversations were had the day of the draft that morning leading up to it. So you knew what the teams around you were doing and looking to do. So that's typically where I get most of that.
Josh, how selective are you when you're making those calls? Like, do you have to lean on general managers that you have relationships with, or do you feel free to call a guy that you might not have a relationship with? And, how do you balance the idea of how much information you want to give versus you don't want to give away your plans?
Yeah, and there's not a lot of detail in those conversations, so you really don't get into, what you want to do. But, hey, I may be looking to move up if one of the players there that I'm interested in. You don't say, hey, if John Smith's there, I want to come up. So you don't give that much information. You just, hey, if would you be interested in moving back? And then it's more just touch and base and then through text or a phone call when you're on the clock. So comfortable calling, every team and their decision maker. Just, definitely not, showing our cards.
How conscious are you of that? That you're not giving away too much information? Because I've heard from many people where, Joe Shane is keeping people guessing as to what the Giants are going to do. Is that a conscious process for you?
Yeah, I would say, especially at six, where we're picking, I think, again, at 25, it's a little bit, you're so far back there, you don't really know what's going to happen ahead of you. So, yeah, I think at six, it's important to, keep things close to the vest and, again, so you can, there's a competitive advantage to that, to people not knowing what you're thinking or which way you're going to go. And got to have a lot of trust, when you're there, when you do have conversations, again, with people behind you looking to come up or whatever it may be. So, yeah, you try your best to keep your cards close.
You're determining how aggressive you want to be and potentially moving up. How much do you weigh your early evaluations on next year's draft, like what you
great
think
question.
That
great
class
question.
Could be when you're thinking about potentially parting with future picks?
Yeah, not just draft, but free agency. Like, what's that market going to – you're always looking at that, the market in the future and who's become available. But you can only – you can only weigh that so much. I'll never forget, I was living in Texas at the time, and I was golfing with one of the Carolina Panthers scouts the day that Andrew Luck decided he was going to go back to school. So as much as you can – you don't know what's going to happen or – Tua was coming out and Tua got hurt, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a player that you like and they could get hurt. They could decide to go back to school. Dennis Hickey, our assistant director of player personnel, I think he said we had 170 players that we had draftable grades on that went back to school. So again, with the NIL and I mean, it's like, you can look at it and prepare for it, but there's no guarantee that, those players will get through their college season healthy. They'll actually come out, so you can try to predict as much as you want, but there are variables that can affect that as well. Go ahead, Pat.
Has Michael Penix Jr. acquitted all concerns or possible concerns about his injury history in your mind? And then kind of a follow-up to that would be, are you more reticent right now than you would have been a year ago maybe to take a chance on a guy who has an injury history? Or is it just the same as it ever was with that?
No, I think we always take that into account. We have to listen to our medical professionals. So, again, We've unfortunately had some issues with injuries the last couple years since I've been here. So you want to stray away from, those injury risks the best you can. And, I'm not going to get into specifics on Michael. It's well documented, the injuries that he had while he was at Indiana. But, he has been healthy at Washington and played, two full seasons there. So, a lot of times those are indicators, even if it's not. Again, we'll go back to John Smith, and he had an ACL his sophomore year, but it hasn't swollen, it hasn't been swelled up, and he hasn't missed any games or had it aspirated or anything like that. You usually lean on how the patient responds to those surgeries and how they perform. So we had our medical meeting Monday night, and we didn't lose too many people. That's always a scary meeting for us because, okay, which one of these players that we love are going to be disqualified because of medical, or they advise that we don't take them, and we didn't lose a lot of players this year, luckily.
Joe, given the temptation to draft your own franchise quarterback at six or above, how much pressure do you feel to get this right?
I feel like we can go several different ways. There's several different options that we can take, and we're going to be okay. So I'm comfortable where we are in terms of whatever we do.
You said in the season you guys needed to add a quarterback, you know, just basically it's the way the roster was. You added Drew. Do you still feel like you need or want to add a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience, and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system, Tommy's come a long way. So, no, I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
Is it different? I mean, when you look at quarterbacks, I mean, seven rounds, so you can take a guy in the sixth or seventh round who can be a special teams guy or maybe can develop into a nickelback or something. But a quarterback, I mean, when you draft a guy in a later round, you know, is that something you believe in? And you say, well, I don't know if this guy's ever going to be a great starter, but he just adds to the room. You know what I mean? It's different because he may not add anything.
Quarterback?
A quarterback, yeah. He may not add anything to your team for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He may not be a guy you think can win a Super Bowl for you, but yeah, he'll add to our room. You know what I mean? It's different than other positions, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Like, it's not, okay, you're going to be a backup guard and you're going to go to the game and you can play, you know, if somebody gets injured, you can go play center or guard, or, you know, there's flexibility to be one of those eighth offensive linemen. So, you know, the hit rate at that position in those rounds you're talking about is not high. And, you know, again, you hope typically if you're going to take a guy down there that they can develop into a good number two. Again, just from a financial aspect, you know, Drew's making $5 million. Well, that player's in the fifth round. If he can develop into a number two, is saving you money over a 4-year period versus, you know, a Tyrod or Drew or, you know, whoever some of the backup quarterbacks are around the league.
Obviously, you've done a lot of work on the quarterbacks. What's been your impression of this group as a whole, you know, from spending a lot of time with them? And also, with a guy like J.J. McCarthy, the concept of, from the outside, people are like, oh, he's rising up draft boards, right? They think that through the process, the combine, the pro days and everything, a player rises up. Do you view that as the case, that, on a grand scheme of things, that guys do that, or is it you had guys already in those spots beforehand?
No, I think the rising is a thing like that can happen. Again, just not specifically quarterback only, but we were having a conversation about a player yesterday that we had some concerns with throughout the fall, but every step along the way they've answered the bell and continued to improve, whether it was an all-star game, combine, pro day, visit here, private workout, continue to answer the bell. So I do think the more you're around these players and you get comfortable with how they're wired and what they're about, like I do think you can give them, you know, the push up. And I think, you know, the quarterback class, it's a good quarterback class, and I think it's deep. And, you know, you look at some of the guys and, you know, the amount of games some of these guys have started and played. I mean, it's impressive. And, you know, you really haven't seen a class like that with some of the quarterbacks that have started and played as many games as they have at a high level. So it's been really fun getting to know these guys. Again, it's a unique position. There's only so many people walking planet Earth that can play that position at a high level. So really getting around these guys, we like to do it every year, and getting to know them, you know, I think is important. And it's not just necessarily this year's draft, but you look at some of the past drafts, some of the high picks at that position that were traded or became free agents or whatever it may be. I think the exposure coming out of college at that position is important. And again, not just for today, but, you know, maybe they are free agents or they're going to be traded or whatever it may be down the road. So I think that's important.
Last one.
Mm-hmm. The combine, or after the combine, Rich Eisen went on his show and said that all he heard was a lot of buyer's remorse from the Giants. He didn't say from whom, obviously, about the contract given to Daniel. And on Monday, Daniel talked to us, and he said very confidently he thinks he is the best quarterback to start this season, assuming he's healthy, for the Giants. Where are you right now, maybe small and big picture, on Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I like I said before, the expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off. You know, one of the things, you know, you go back and you watch the 2022 season or, you know, all of his throws in 2022, like he was a 25-year-old player that played at a high level and we won 10 games and we won a playoff game. And I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. Again, did we have the best start to the season last year? Absolutely not. And a lot, you know, anything that could have went wrong, it seems like it did early on between injuries and some other things. So I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
Part of you wonder who told Eisen that stuff?
Yeah, I can't worry. I mean, there's a lot, there's stuff out there all the time that's not true, and you really can't let it bother you. I've got a good relationship with Daniel, and we communicate all the time. He's here all the time, so we've got a good relationship, and we communicate well. And you know, if he has an issue or hears something or something that I think I need to talk to him about, you know, we do that often.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, there you go. So Joe Shane laying it down and giving you a sense of what the Giants are thinking as much as he can divulge. I got to tell you, though, he did a pretty good job of taking you behind the curtain, giving him a sense of, you know, making the calls and what you divulge to other teams and what you're thinking and how you juggle a lot during, let's face it, the most important process for any team.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to draft the right players. So let's get a break. We'll come back. We'll get some of these calls back to the Giants. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz, and we've got a pair of field-level tickets. See the Bombers take on Tampa at the stadium coming up on Sunday, April 21. Right now, we'll do call the number 10. Get you in the house, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326, and it's all from our friends at Jersey Mike's, the official sub-sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Make sure you listen again tomorrow here on the show. Same time, get another chance to win those Yankee tickets. Unfortunately, we will have to be without our local baseball heroes today. Well, Yank and Met withdrawal. No baseball today.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
Ugh.
But at least they're both, you know, going into their off day or enjoying their off day on a high note.
Yeah.
Yanks come back home, of course. Mets hit the road. Mets tomorrow night's going to be fun against Yamamoto. 10-10 start. I cannot wait for this weekend. I just want to get to the weekend and enjoy some time off potentially. Although, you know, you're on the wife and kid, you're never really off. But anyway, you got baseball 10 o'clock. You get the Yankees and Rays. You got the baseball at 10 o'clock with the Mets taking on Yamamoto and the Dodgers. You got Knicks game one Saturday. You got
six.
Rangers game one Saturday. Islanders are Saturday as well.
It's gonna
There's
be
a
awesome.
Lot going on this weekend.
So there is, and we're going to be all over it, obviously. Let's get back to the Giant stuff. And obviously, some Nick calls still on hold from earlier in the hour. But if you missed it, anything on the free Odyssey app, just check it out. Hit rewind. We play Joe Shane's press conference for you. Two things jumped out. And I said this before we went to break. Like, I thought Joe... You know, usually this stuff is fairly benign. And, of course, you're not going to divulge state secrets. Yeah, we love McCarthy. Mm-hmm. He's got some arm or, wow, we think he'd be amazing running Dable's play in the scheme. But I thought he took you behind the curtain enough. Like, even as I'm listening to that sitting here in the studio, I'm like, oh, okay, so, you know, you're texting GMs, you're calling GMs, you're throwing this out there, you're throwing that out there. I thought he did a good job of being as descriptive as possible. He shut down some stupid questions. Which he's supposed to. He's just very good when he speaks. Now, I want your answer on this. One thing, this came early.
It was refreshingly honest.
He was.
And open.
He was.
Like, he's not going to tell us detail. Oh, yeah, I'm trading up to try to get this guy. But without getting into the obvious details he can't get into,
yep.
He explained everything else. He said he was getting calls about trading back. They just got to figure out how far back they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about, you know, all the different positions that they could be at. They're in a good spot. The fact that they're going to have their board finalized tonight or tomorrow and then step away. Like, if you're a Giant fan listening to that, you got to be thrilled. How can you not trust Joe Shane?
You've got to see him. It certainly comes across that Joe's in control and Joe's smart. And we thought that the day was higher. But I remember me and Teague played it. We had him on the show. We liked it. So far, he's been good. And not great, but good. And I believe in Joe.
But also just open, refreshingly open and honest, as opposed to, I don't know, say Gettleman, who doesn't give you anything.
Talks down to you exactly is what he gives
right.
you.
That's exactly right. Talks down to you, thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
You know, you'll know whatever, you'll know what we do when we do it. Like, get lost, Gettleman. Shane was just being open and honest, having a conversation with the media who were asking some good questions in there, and he gave you the answers the best way that he could. It was a good listen. It was refreshingly
that's
honest.
That's why we went with it that long. I mean, usually we'll pop in 7-8 minutes, but I'm like, I think Giant fans are enjoying hearing this. So, one of the things he was asked, and he gave you a good answer. I thought this was a good question. How much, because you and I discussed this in the first hour. Again, free Odyssey app, hit rewind, check it out, get up to speed. How much you look at next year's draft and next year's free agency in terms of setting up what you might do this year, he gave the answer. And he was asked a question. This is what I want your answer on, and I'll give you mine after, but I want you to go first. It came out in a little bit of a convoluted way. The question was a little confusing. But the premise was good, and once they actually got to the bottom of what they were trying to ask, it was really good. So here it is. Here's the condensed version. Would you rather, as a GM, now both suck, but you got to choose one. Would you rather swing and miss on a quarterback, meaning you take Zach and you miss, you take Jones, you miss, whatever, or pass on a quarterback and he becomes a star elsewhere? What's easier to digest from the organization's point of view?
I would rather swing and miss on a quarterback, assuming that I did it with the belief of, I believe in this guy, he's going to be the one.
Mm.
I can't sit back and say, I'm not sure about this, and then and second guess myself or overthink it and pass on him because I'm afraid to make that difficult choice and then have him succeed elsewhere. That would eat at me. So I want to be aggressive and go for it. If I love a guy and I believe in him, I don't care where it's at. If they love McCarthy so much, and it means trading up to number three or number four. And by the way, there are some reports out there, I think, that the Patriots
could move out.
Yeah, they just said they're open for business.
Mm-hmm.
As they should.
They got a lot of holes.
Every round open for business. Well, if that is the case, and you are Joe Shane, and you love one of two, or let's say you love a quarterback, two quarterbacks out of that top three, and you aggressively make that move up, and you say, you know what? I took my chance. Like McCagnan with Sam Darnold. He took his shot. It didn't work out. But he took his shot, and I think you can live with that as opposed to passing on it and seeing that guy go out and flourish.
I see it differently, and I'll tell you why in a second. But keep in mind, the one thing that might be in the way of the Giants being really aggressive, they only have 6 picks. Now, well, what does that mean in the context of the rest of the league? So the Bears have 4, but look where they're choosing, so that's fine. The Browns have 6. Miami has 6. The Jets have 7, just in case you were wondering. Yeah, the Jets and the Giants have number 6, number 47 from Seattle, number 70, 107, and then they have a pick in 5 and a pick in 6. But 6 picks is on the short list. Some teams have 10, some have 11, a lot have 9. So that's a little issue. In case you're wondering, do they have the actual equity to actually make a trade? They do, but it would then compromise what they do next year. Okay, How do I answer what I asked Sal? I disagree. So the question again is, and it both stink, swing and miss on a quarterback, like all the ones that we know, or pass on a quarterback and he stars elsewhere. I think I would rather pass on the quarterback and watch him become a star elsewhere, preferably not in my division, but even if it's the case, because I think when you swing and miss, it's more damaging from a contractual point of view. But at least you believed in a guy. I know, but again, you're not rewarded for that faith, so you got to deal with the consequences. Now, again, both situations.
Right, but then, are you playing? Obviously, but then are you playing scared? Like, if you're Joe Douglas or Joe Shane, whoever, and obviously Joe Douglas is a good example because he did it.
Yep.
He swung and missed big time.
No, I get that.
And he lived to tell about it. But I'd rather that than him pass and say, I'm afraid
I'm not saying that you're afraid. Yeah. I'm saying that it's a different approach.
Well, okay.
Could maybe you're not fully convicted in the pick. It's not a fear thing. It's more of a pragmatic thing. Listen, I think that what you're saying, I get it. What I'm saying, though, is of the two bad options, which can I recover from more? Well, if I swing and miss, if I identify, yeah. I got to have this guy, I draft him, I move up, whatever, I move mountains to get him, and he stinks. Now I can't draft the quarterback the next year because I'm stuck with this guy.
Generally, that's
what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, unless, of course, you work for Woody Johnson, then you get to pick as many quarterbacks and coaches as you want, apparently.
You know what I'm saying, though, because you're not going to go like quarterback in 2024 and quarterback in 2025.
Hey, right, but with high risk comes great reward.
I mean, they're both tough, and I get both sides, I'm telling you. All right, let's get back to you. 877-337-6666. Woodbridge, Gavin, BT and Sal. What's going on, Gav?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Nice to hear you guys today.
Thanks, buddy. So, what's going on?
You guys are the experts. I just want to give you my
That is true. Yes. Thank you for clarifying that.
I am the pro.
Yeah, right. We are the professionals. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, Gavin.
Not debatable. So, Daniel Jones stinks.
Also not debatable. No, go ahead.
Come on.
I just saw this picture of him online, and it just confirms, you know, what I've been saying for years. He's a deer in the headlights. He got sacked, I think it was 30 times in 6 games. You know, the injuries, it all stems. He just doesn't know what's going on. I'm not buying what they're selling on Daniel Jones. He should have been gone yesterday. Am I crazy?
Listen, here's what I thoughts? Listen, Gav.
I'll hang up and listen.
No, it's all good. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the kind words. Do I think you're crazy? No. I think you're a little confused because I think that Daniel Jones is a little confounding. And quite frankly, I was confused for a while. Sal changed his opinion. Daniel Jones is, at this point, it's pretty easy because he's not worth $40-something million. So eventually this is going to end very soon. But, and just to backtrack for a sec, I'm not going through every sack on film nor do I even pretend to know the depth of the schematics. Like, well, all right, he got sacked 30 times in 6 games, whatever the number is, but, you know, 9 were due to poor recognition or he didn't properly flush the pocket or this guy ran the right route and he was open, but Daniel Jones held the ball. I mean, there's so many things that people who all they do for a living is that, they'll give you a better answer, but he doesn't stink. He doesn't stink. He never stunk. And I think the answer is he's not what you needed him to be. And that's okay. But he never stunk.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have to take it literally. I mean, he just doesn't think Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback. I tend to agree. I mean, I've seen enough of how many years are we going to give him while he's shown some potential and while he's certainly had some success that you cannot deny,
mm-hmm.
He just wouldn't be good enough for me. You're entitled to your opinion. Caller's entitled to theirs. I'm entitled to mine. I would move on from Daniel Jones. Oh, and by the way, I believe the Giants are going to eventually. We'll know definitively
100%.
After the season.
I'm not debating that. He's gone. Well, he's going to be gone after this year.
So it doesn't matter if he stinks, if he can win some games, if he won a playoff game. It doesn't matter. He's not going to be the guy for the Giants moving forward. Unless he is somehow, by some shocking miracle, Daniel Jones goes out there, stays healthy, produces to a level where he actually throws for some freaking touchdowns this year, and maybe he could be the franchise quarterback moving forward. I wouldn't bet on that. I'm not counting on that. I think they need another quarterback to get them to another level.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not forcing the issue this year, but enough about Daniel Jones. We've done this for too long.
It's getting old.
It's been going on forever. I was done with it prior to the arrival of Shane and Dable. It was over. The make or break years were broken. Shane and Dable come on. They decide to run it back with Jones and Barkley again. They have some success, mild success. Giant fans want to go nuts and hang their hats on that. Hey, and look, we saw it. I mean, he was terrific. He was terrific to an extent. He was terrific that year. Ran the football extremely well. Didn't make mistakes. Took him to the playoffs. Won a road playoff game. That's about it. That's where it caps off. You need to build off of that. You can't totally regress. You know, be hurt for the year. And also when you're playing, regress to a point where the Giants were awful. Their offense has been awful. What's the most important part of their offense? The quarterback. It needs to change. That's the other thing, BT, that Joe Shane said. The offense has to get better, which means
more
to
dynamic.
Me, they're taking an offensive player. It doesn't mean they're taking a wide receiver. It doesn't mean they're taking a quarterback. Uh-huh. But it's going to be it's going to be an offensive pick with the first pick of the draft.
What if the Giants traded down and took Bowers? We were talking about the Jets taking Bowers. Forget about Darren Waller.
I would go nuts if they did that.
Darren Waller, stop.
They can't. Yeah, talk about stinks.
Bowers is a seam ripper. So I think there's a lot.
You can't take a tight end when they need too much.
No, I'm saying if you trade down. And you'd have to trade down a lot. Like, you'd have to get, then somebody could jump in front and take Bowers, whatever. I just think that they have a lot of options because they need to become more dynamic on offense. If you love McCarthy or if you love another quarterback, if the Pats trade out or the Pats want to trade with you, you got to investigate everything, which I think the Giants are, which I think is smart. And that's why I think you have great confidence in this regime. Now, one thing I'll say is, the final chapter is going to be written soon for Jones here as a Giant. But how would you describe, Sal, a quarterback, played a long time, who won as many games as he lost and led the league in picks three times? How would you describe that guy? Won as many games as he literally won as many as he lost and led the league in picks three times. How would you describe him loosely?
Average?
It's Eli.
Yeah. Well.
That's Eli, literally.
Right.
Won 117, lost 117, three times, led the NFL in picks, threw almost 250 combined, led the league in picks in 2007, in 2010, and in 2013. And by the way, other years he had some fairly high numbers where he didn't lead the league, but he was in the mix to, top three, top four. Now, Eli's very different. Eli's a two-time champion. I get it, but I'm just saying sometimes it's never as easy as just saying it's this guy's fault or he is the guy or here's the ceiling.
Right, here's the difference. Eli Manning could throw the football. I'm not talking about literally throw the football. Throw the football with success.
Yeah.
He always could do that. He makes some.
Didn't.
Yeah, he can make some mistakes, sure. Mm. But he could throw. I'd rather Jones throw for 30 touchdowns and 20 picks.
And some picks.
Than throw for, 14 touchdowns.
Yeah. I get
especially,
that too.
Especially today. We're talking about Eli, 20 years ago.
It was different.
When he first came into the league.
I know, but let's not rewrite, Eli. And I remember being on the air at that old station where we're talking hey, is Eli good enough, man? Where he was sub 50% completion percent this first year. The next year it was 52. The next year it was 53.
Right, but then you saw him once he got to the postseason. Obviously, he was proven to be good enough.
Understood. But Eli was not a stud out of the chute.
You think Daniel Jones on his – yeah, but he also had the different hype. That he was supposed to be a stud, which is why he went where he was. Daniel Jones was not. Mm. Kind of came out of nowhere in the fact
that
the Giants
get wrapped up in that. Mahomes didn't go first, second, or third.
There is something to it. Similar,
Dan Marino barely got drafted in the first round.
Understood, but there is something to it with the expectations going in. Our expectations for the Mets were nothing this year, and then when they start 0-5, it brings validation to that.
Yep.
If you have expectations of this guy's going to be a stud and he doesn't do it right away, you could still believe in a little bit more as opposed to a guy at a Duke who nobody was expecting to be a number six pick overall, a top pick. And then you're like, what the hell is going on here? And then you see him play and you're like, it was a reach. What are you doing?
Yeah. But how many people who liked Eli, talking about coming out of Ole Miss, liked him because his last name was Manning?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people really watched him at Ole Miss?
I mean, he had one real big believer. Ernie, of course, loved Eli Manning. He was going to stick with him no matter what.
And it paid off, and they made that trade. He's a two-time champ, and he's eventually going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Saying like the numbers aren't
I know
glistening off the page either.
I'm just going by the numbers.
No, I know you're not.
Yeah.
I got you. All right, 877-337-6666 is the number. Giants draft strategy. Back to your calls next on The Fan.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Back to back. Nina belly to belly.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal, talking G-Men, talking draft. Let's get back to you. Anthony's on Long Island. Talking a little bit about Joe Shane's press conference. Anthony, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
How are you?
Okay, good. What's going on? Let's go.
Nothing much. I'm a little excited about this draft. I'll give you a couple of points. I do believe in Joe Shane. I think he's very smart, capable GM. A couple of things here. I don't want nothing to do with J.J. McCarthy.
Why?
I'm a diehard Michigan fan. I watched every snap. I watched every snap the kid play. He is absolutely, absolutely 100% a product of Jim Harbaugh. No questions asked. I mean, the kid never threw the ball past 20 yards.
Yeah.
He's just Daniel Jones 2.0. I really think I think the best scenario for them would be is that the Minnesota Vikings are in love with J.J. McCarthy and they trade both of their first rounders this year to the Giants. Mm. And then the Giants draft at 11 and draft at 28. I think they have way too many holes, and I think that would probably be the best thing to happen to the franchise.
I don't know that it would take two of those first round picks with Minnesota to move up and swap with the Giants. I think that there's a way where Minnesota doesn't have to give up two, but yeah, there's a way to play the power board here. And you just incentivize teams to come up, get a quarterback. You know, Giants may be playing possum. Maybe they can't stand McCarthy's film.
Right.
They're like, this guy's got no chance to be good. Maybe they're thinking that, but they're playing a long game, which eventually expires on draft night. And they're just kind of roping people in, throw a little bit more in the pot. Come on, let's play. Boom. Then they pounce with their move.
Nobody knows what's real or what isn't real as far as the interest in a player. Some of the stuff may be true, and I want to believe some of it. Some of it we don't know. Could it be smokescreen? I have no idea. What I do know is that I trust Joe Shane. And I also trust Joe Shane to the level where he does not believe in Daniel Jones. He could say all those things, and I understand why he's saying them. He's not factually wrong.
But he's also the one who gave him a contract, so it's not like Gettleman gave it. I mean, you know, he can't separate himself that much from Daniel Jones. You gave him the contract,
right.
Shane.
Also,
and I understand why he did it, but, you know.
Also, we're grading Jones on a different curve. Like, if you compare him to the busts at quarterback that we've seen, he's better than that. So the idea, like, you could be worse off going into a season than having Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback.
But when he's making $40-something million, dollars,
well,
that changes
change
it a
that.
Bit.
They can't change that now.
Yeah.
They have no choice but to roll with Daniel Jones being the starting quarterback, but I trust not only Shane to make the right decision in the draft and play that right,
yeah.
I also trust that he knows Jones ain't it. So that means getting a quarterback now.
Well, then why give him a contract?
Well, I think he knows now that he ain't it, and I also think the owner had influence on that. Now, yeah. That's just a guess.
I think it's an accurate one. We've said the same thing about ownership doing a little flex there with that.
Or at least
after the playoff
influencing,
mm-hmm.
You know, a little lean.
No, the Giants ownership is known to flex a little bit internally.
Yeah.
Barkley
being out helps a little bit, you know, maybe lean in the direction of, hey, just let Shane do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
But I don't believe Shane is attached to Daniel Jones beyond this season.
I agree with that. I do agree
He made
with
one
that
mistake,
part.
He won't make it again.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.